Howdy, folks. Whether by accident or on purpose, you have run across Lords of Order, a Dr. Fate fan podcast. I'm your host, Ed Moore, and there are going to be spoilers. BigTimeNoise.com/Dr. Fate is the website. The Dr. Fate fan podcast on or at gmail.com is the email address. Teal Productions and Lords of Order are pages on Facebook where you can find the episodes posted. And on Twitter, look for Teal Productions. In both cases where you look for Teal, it's spelled like the color, T-E-A-L. All-Star Comics, the 1976 volume by way of the 1940 volume, issue number 66, cover dated May-June 1977, on sale February 22nd, 1977. Now, I haven't been giving cover credits very reliably, and I apologize for that. This one, we have a cover from Rich Buckler and Jack Abel. Tatjana Wood did colors, and Joe Staton did letters. And it's thought maybe the logo design as well for the cover. Not 100% on that one. But on the cover, we have an image. There are so much information on these latter Justice Society of America covers. We have circles very upper left and right. The left is the DC logo. The right says 30 cents, number 66, June, a number 3417. I'm not sure what that number is. Batch number, maybe, or an assignment number. And then we have the little stamp that says approved by the Comics Code. Now, in the middle, All-Star Comics presents the legendary, okay, as we're going down the cover, Justice Society in huge letters of America. Then we have headshots, Power Girl, then Star Spangled Kid. Left, right is Wildcat. Between Power Girl and Star Spangled Kid headshots, we have Incredible Action Issue Balloon. Beneath the Wildcat headshot, we have As the JSA Battles for Wildcat's Life in a Balloon. Then the image itself, which is only about half the cover, maybe half the cover. On the left side, we have Hawkman and Dr. Fate. On the right, we have Icicle and the Thinker. And I believe they're trying to shoot at Hawkman and Dr. Fate, because in between them is a giant oval shield with a big Ankh on it. And the Thinker's Mind Wave and the Icicle's Ice Gun are hitting that shield. So things are kind of at a funky angle, but I believe the two evil are shooting at the two good, and Dr. Fate has erected a shield in between. Looks to be some sort of oil production refinery storage place on fire in the background, and on the ground in between essentially Dr. Fate's legs and in between Dr. Fate and Hawkman lies the Flash, and it's signed Buckler and Abel. So the inside credits go to Paul Levitz as the writer, Joe Staton as the inker, Joe Staton as the penciler, Bob Layton as the inker, Elizabeth Safian as the colorist, and the letterist is not known at this time. Although perhaps whoever did the outside letters, he be Joe Staton, even though he did the pencils, maybe he did the ink, the letters inside as well. Yeah, it's hard to say. I also have been negligent about where you can find, telling you guys where you can find this book as far as I have been able to locate. Grand Comics database indicates that this issue can be found in the Justice Society 2006 series, issue number one. Showcase presents All-Star Comics, issue number one from 2011, and All-Star Comics Only Legends Live Forever from 2019, if you guys are trying to locate the issue. Opening scene is the lower levels of the Brownstone JSA headquarters, as Hawkman is flying in with Star-Spangled Kid, Power Girl, and Flash with him. They are attacking the Injustice Society, who is made up here of Brainwave, the Thinker, Icicle, and the Wizard. Fighting ensues. Icicle takes out Hawkman. Power Girl saves Hawkman. Wizard's about to juice up with lightning Power Girl. Star Spangled Kid jumps in the way, but she shoves him away and takes the electricity herself. As she falls, Star Spangled Kid grabs her up before she hits the floor. Brainwave is attacking hand-to-hand Hawkman here, while the Thinker has Flash all bound up by his thinking juice or whatever. I don't know if he is using some form of energy to freeze the Flash or if he simply is controlling the Flash through the Flash's brain and all of his muscles are seizing up. Don't know. Attack, attack. Injustice Society finally says, okay, we've done what we came to do. We've let them know we're here. Let's take off. But guys of the Justice Society know that we have captured Wildcat and Hourman, and we're holding them hostage. And unless you come and fight us on our terms, they will die. And they leave an image of the two JSAers there to let them know that we do indeed have them, which wouldn't necessarily work in my mind, but it works for the story. On the way out, Icicle tells them, we have captured Hourman and Wildcat. You must battle us for the lives. Okay, sorry. We have captured Hourman and Wildcat. You must battle us for their lives at places of our choosing, the land of frozen gold and the Isle of the Ever-Burning Flame. Then they disappear, leaving these images. Power Girl wakes up. Everybody's kind of shaking off the attacks and everything. Superman arrives. It ends after this battle. Then we cut back to what occurred right before where the book started that leads up to the first panel of the book. And that is Superman, Power Girl, Hawkman, Star-Spangled Kid, and Flash returning home from their traipsings through the time universe. They've been to Camelot. As I said, they fought Vandal Savage. The person on the winged horse that we saw with Green Lantern and the Flash turns out to have been the Shining Knight. He comes and helps them in the previous two issues. There was no Dr. Fate appearance. Superman once again steps aside and says, you really need to allow Power Girl to take my place. Flash vibrates through the building of the brownstone, which is, I guess, how he enters, even though it's all locked. I'd be curious to find out how he avoids setting off any alarms or anything like that. But as he does, somehow he is ejected back into the streets, Hawkman catching him. Power Girl decides, well, since we can't go through the front door, we'll go through the wall over here. And she busts through the wall and everybody follows her in, being, again, Hawkman, Star-Spangled Kid, The Flash, and PG herself. Confronting them is the Icicle, Brainwave, Wizard, and the Thinker. And that's where we started the book. So now we're caught up with, well, we're not. We went from back a little ways to present, prior to the battle. And then once again, we're current. Hawkman has gone over to the computer, fed it the clues that Icicle left to try to determine where those two locations were, hoping, I guess, that their two missing compadres are one each at the two locations. Were I the Injustice Society, to be honest, I would put both of them at one location and make the other location bogus and have it set up more as a trap then. But yeah, that's overthinking things. So they split up. Hawkman is the chairman, so he determines that he and Star-Spangled Kid will go to Alaska, which they find out up here that Prudhomme Bay, Alaska, is one of the locations, and the United Arab Emirates is the other. Both of these places possess major oil processing plants. So Hawkman and Star-Spangled Kid are going to go to Alaska, but Star-Spangled Kid says, no, scoops up Power Girl, which she doesn't need scooped, but scoops her up, and they fly off to Alaska, torquing Power Girl off mightily. She looks very upset in the panel. We cut to Inza Nelson as she is about to throw a crystal ball at Kent because he says he needs to leave to go help fight some great evil. Doesn't know the nature of the evil, doesn't know who he's helping, just knows it needs to be done because he is Dr. Fate. And the portents all point that way. Well, he just was dead and is alive now, like for a couple weeks. And Inza is aware of that. And she's like, you know, can't you ever take a break? Kent Nelson is my husband. You know, we saw all of this in the very first issue of this redo of All-Star Comics, the second volume or continuation of the first volume. Issue 58 was the first one. But she's had enough of being the wife of Dr. Fate. she just wants to be the wife of Kent Nelson. But we know how that goes. He goes, Kent Nelson, as Dr. Fate, leaves her crying in the floor, saying, no, no, not again, zips through his windowless, doorless tower and goes to parts unknown. We don't know where he's going. Just we assume that he's going to help one of these duos of Justice Society members. We don't know which ones. Let's take a guess and say that it'll be this one, because they're the next one. They're the first of the two duos shown. That's Hawkman and Flash. They have gone to United Arab Emirates, and this specifically tells us, let's see. I thought it gave us an indication here of like some island or something, but I'm not seeing it quickly. Nonetheless, Dr. Fate does indeed swoop in to help them. So it'll be Hawkman, Flash, and Dr. Fate against whomever to save, as we see, the life of our man here, who has been strapped to the top of one of these exhaust chimneys that we always see firing up at the chemical plants. This one just isn't fired up yet, but I guess the thought is that eventually it will, and it will roast our man because he's tied across the top of the funnel. The Injustice members here are the Thinker and Icicle. That's who our Justice Society members are going up against. And so they get in range and a fight ensues. Icicle freezes up the Flash, and the Thinker animates telekinetically some of these equipments in the area, and uses that to attack Dr. Fate and Hawkman. Well, Dr. Fate holds it off. He frees up Flash also at the same time. Hawkman swoops down and punches the Thinker, knocking the Magno helmet, or whatever he calls that contraption on top of his head, off of his head. Icicle turns his attention to Dr. Fate, who uses this shield, I think, similar to what we saw on the cover. It's a big oval with a big Ankh in the middle of it. Thinker and Hawkman are going hand to hand, and the Thinker is like, well, you know, you've fallen into my clutches. Well, Hawkman is probably among the top two hand to hand combatants in the Justice Society. So, yeah, Thinker really doesn't have a chance. Hawkman knocks him down. I was going to say fists him, but that's not a very good phrase, is it nowadays? Knocks him out with his fist. Dr. Fate has taken care of Icicle, who we see laying over here to the side. They rush up. They free our man. They fly off, needing to get our man somewhere where he can get some attention. Fate is carrying our man. Hawkman is carrying Thinker, minus his helmet. They left it laying over there. So some kid is going to wander around and find it. He's going to create Ultron, right? Or something like that. Yeah, no, I know that's Marvel Comics. And the Flash is carrying Icicle. Now, they have some discussion. They're in a part of the world that they don't know really anything about, you know. But we need to get our man some help where it will not come out who our man is, maintain his identity. And Flash answers, actually, we do have, or no, Hawkman says, actually, we do have someone in this part of the world. Remember, Dick Grayson is the U.S. ambassador to South Africa. So, our three JSAers are taking their two captives and our man from the United Arab Emirates, which is, what is that, along the Red Sea by the eastern end of the Mediterranean? Is that roughly where United Arab Emirates are? Down to South Africa, which is on at the southernmost point of the African continent. So that's where they're going to go. That's close. It's like, what? Really? Seems like that's like a third of the globe away. But okay, they don't have anybody in, say, Italy that can help, or, you know, I don't know where else. I don't know. Somewhere up in Europe, as opposed to flying all the way down to the Horn of Africa. But they do. They get to Cape Town Hospital. We see a meeting here between the adult Dick Grayson in his Robin uniform and Dr. Fate talking about, you know, best help in the world, and they'll keep his identity secret and everything. You're right, Fate. What we need is clear thinking, and I know just where to get some, Robin says as he's walking off and Dr. Fate is following. And at that cryptic comment, we shift scenes, the narrator tells us, to Green Lantern, who is being accompanied by or being followed by, can't really tell, somebody, as Green Lantern is looking at the studios of the Gotham Broadcast Company that Alan Scott is, or was, I don't know if it still exists, president of. And Green Lantern is speaking out loud as he's looking at the studio. "You were right, stranger. It's only hours after I defaulted on the mortgage payment, and they've already wiped out the work of years. The studio's been stripped. Stuff is laying everywhere that people didn't want, whatever." Stranger says, "I pity you. For all your power, there is nothing you can do." Green Lantern says, "I did it all. I saved the world for them time and time again. I gave them all my energies, all my strength, and then they took everything else. No more, world. From now on, the mystic strength of the Green Lantern serves its master, and the world can fend for itself," as he just goes into this thing and starts destroying the studio with his Green Lantern ring. And we see that this stranger that is accompanying him is none other than Psycho Pirate. I don't know if he is working with the Injustice Society or not. Off the top of my head, I don't know that I ever remember seeing or hearing him being a member. So this could be just a Green Lantern aspect of the story, or Psycho Pirate could be doing this in unison with the other members, as he is a member also of the Injustice Society. We don't know, or at least I don't know. Okay, we cut from Gotham City. No, we move somewhere else in Gotham City. Narrator tells us, particularly for one man, well, let me see what it was said before. "It is not quiet in Gotham this night, but then it rarely is. Particularly for one man who lives to make the sprawling metropolis a safer place." And we see somebody looking at Gotham Globe. Green Lantern goes on rampage. Ex-hero wrecks GBC building. So this must be sometime after. "He sits alone in his office tonight, as he does most nights, but this evening he stares into the shadows he knows so well, searching for answers, answers that the darkness will not reveal." Now, this is very, very similar to how we found Clark when they introduced the Earth to Superman earlier in the series. "And suddenly the stillness is broken. Someone comes in, a telegram commissioner from your ward." So there's some hints as to who this is. "But the interruption lasts only a moment, for he does not reply. Once, people wondered why a man who had spent a lifetime at play would surrender his leisure to shoulder such a heavy burden. But they needed him for their protection, for their protector had retired, and soon they ceased to wonder why Playboy turned police commissioner and instead called Bruce Wayne Guardian Angel." So Batman has retired so that Bruce Wayne could become police commissioner of Gotham here on Earth 2. "For though they know it not, the Dark Knight detective still protects the city he loves." So Robin from South Africa got in touch with Bruce Wayne in Gotham City for some sort of assistance, some sort of help. Then we go to Prudhoe Bay, Alaska, where Star Spangled Kid and Power Girl are arriving and are immediately attacked by the wizard riding enchanted eagles. Power Girl likes the fact that they're enchanted eagles. That means they're fake, and she doesn't have to worry about kicking their butts as she starts beating up on the eagles all over the place and finally makes her way over to Wizard and grabs him and is attempting to wrest him off the eagle that he's on. But Brainwave in an exoskeleton intensifier somehow, I'm not really sure, proves to be up in the air as well, and with a back fist, knocks her off of the wizard down onto the ground, where when she's laying, Brainwave is going to squish her in his skeleton, his big foot coming down, but she rips off his leg and starts ripping the skeleton apart. Star Spangled Kid comes in with the assist, and of course she calls him off because she doesn't need help. She is girl, hear her roar. And as they're roaring, the wizard has regained himself and is attacking them with inanimate objects that he can control by his magicry, wizardry. A giant pipeline wraps it around, draws the attention once again of Power Girl, who focuses on the wizard, while Star Spangled Kid locates and frees Wildcat. Power Girl breaks the wizard's wand, and at some point he is begging, and he says, "Please, I'll retire, turn stage magician, move to Earth 1, anything." And then we get a narrator's note that says, "Surprisingly, though, the wizard will be as good as his word, as regular readers of the Secret Society of Supervillains have already discovered." So looking, I see that his most previous appearance to this one and his next subsequent appearance after this issue are both in consecutive issues of the Secret Society of Supervillains. So the wizard has been on Earth 1 and just traveled to Earth 2 to help the Injustice Society for this particular story, I suppose. Now, I know time is coming up soon here, I believe, where there will be two or three heroes and two or three bad guys that move from one of the Earths to the other Earth and become, quote-unquote, residents of that new Earth. And Power Girl and Huntress are going to be affected. I don't remember that the Wizard is, but perhaps he is, and another bad guy that doesn't escape my mind. I'm sure all you DC aficionados are out there screaming at me for not knowing this, but I am not a DC aficionado. I apologize for that if that's a letdown, but it is the truth. But I do know that it happens. So we see that the fighting has stopped because they've defeated everybody. Star-Spangled Kid and Power Girl are the they I'm referring to. But they notice something interesting about this particular site. All of the oil pipelines seem to be, you know, streaming across the ground like a pipeline will. And then they do a 90 into this great big pit, and the pipelines just go down into this big hole. So they determine, Power Girl here, of course, she's still roaring. I'm sure the original builders didn't plan for this wildcat, and I intend to find out exactly who did, even if it takes us to the center of the Earth. And she's got this real resolute face and this fist, and yeah, so. Narrator tells us, in 60 days, yada yada, but what we will find out, and not insurance, or not cell phone, yada yada, by the way. Green Lantern, enslaved by the Psycho Pirate. The fate of Our Man and the mystery of Middle Earth unleashed in The Attack of the Underlord. So that's what we have to look forward to in issue 67 of the book, which I will be covering. So hold on there, guys. I think that's everything for this issue that I wanted to say. Yeah, thanks for hanging in there. I appreciate that. I will be back again next month giving thoughts on All-Star Comics issue number 67. Catch you guys then. Ciao, Bella.